It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to, I'm not going to say welcome back because we're just starting. Welcome to Money Matters here, 9:06 on a Sunday morning. Ready to go in a week where markets just did absolutely nothing. This rocking back and forth. We saw we saw a lot of earnings numbers. We saw Netflix, really good numbers, but the market doesn't care about good numbers for them. Market cares about subscribers. They missed their subscriber numbers by about 1 million globally. I mean, they're still adding millions and millions of people every quarter, but their number and their expectations far exceeded what the numbers were. They missed by about 1 million new subscribers. That stock down. At one point, it was down 14%, but we saw reports from Honeywell and IBM and Johnson & Johnson that actually were just, let's say, better than good, which kind of offset all of the kind of the any bad news that we saw. And then any sort of back and forth about Russia or trade. And I want to talk about, so here we are for the week, the Dow Jones up 0.1%, the S&P couldn't have been really any flatter, flat. The NASDAQ down just a tiny fraction of a percent. So markets, let's say, went absolutely nowhere. But plenty of news to talk about this week. The couple of things. One, there's a chart that went viral. I want to talk about that because you might see this reflected in some sort of economic headlines, depending on no matter where you go for your financial news. You're going to probably see an article about the rise of this narrow stock market where just a couple of stocks are doing all the heavy lifting, moving, plowing all the new ground, and that's a, quote, bad thing for the market. Well, what does that mean? So a narrow or top-heavy market, is that really the case? And is it anything totally new? We'll talk about that. Also, and I actually have one of my favorite charts. You can't see this chart, but we'll review this today. The S&P 500... Now, I'm looking at a chart of the S&P 500, so what it's done all year, basically, early start, which was a huge run up. We knew that couldn't last. And then this precipitous drop where we went into about a 12% correction at the end of really mostly in February. And then we've treaded water the entire rest of the way. The S&P is up on the year, but what I've also tracked here is the reverse weight of the S&P 500. So you have the biggest companies like Apple and Amazon and Alphabet and Microsoft, which are the four top companies in market cap. By the way, several of these on their way to $1 trillion status, and then reverse them so that now they make up the number 500 and 499 and 498. So they have the least amount of percentage weight or economic weight. And if you look at those two charts, what happens? Well, we'll get to that today. The probably my favorite piece of the week. And I don't know if we'll get to this, but I'd like to talk. I just published an article. If we don't get to it, you can go to westwalls.com and read about it under the money tab. If you're planning to pass on your family business, here are a couple things you need to keep in mind. I wrote about the four or five different really important pieces of the equation that you've got to, and this might be a little narrow for Money Matters today. Yes, there's tons and tons of business owners out there. There's this great challenge. How do you move it to the next generation? Whether it's your children or it's someone in the extended family or somebody that just cares enough to say, hey, I want to do what this guy's been doing for 30 or 40 years. I want to continue the legacy. That is so much easier said than done. Very difficult to find. Then you've got to do financially, how do you make it work? A lot to think about. We'll see if we can get to that. But what I want to talk about this week, really kind of the got me motivated to talk about this on Money Matters, which is always a challenge. There's so much financial news throughout the week, so many things we could focus in on. And where I try to focus in on are, A, what I'm most excited about, B, what I think has really the underlying the most real impact, and not just some ridiculous headline because it's easy for a reporter to write about. And then most interesting to all of us, and then how will that help get us through a period of time or understand the markets that we're living in? And the markets that you and I are living in right now is this market that is economy extraordinarily strong by almost every measure. And in some cases, we're worried about some of those measures getting too warm, too hot, which then we fall back into the abyss. Now, as we watch economic numbers like wage growth, which we know is kind of the black widow of economic data points, that gets too warm, too hot to the 4% range per year. If wages grow over 4% a year, we know that that's kind of an economic killer. Very often almost always sends us into recession. You've heard about the inverted yield curve. What happens when the yield curve basically goes upside down relative to the way it should be? We know that that's a problem. When there are a bunch of Fed presidents out in the last week or so, including our own Fed president right here in Atlanta, Raphael Bostic, saying, hey, I'm concerned about the inverted yield curve. It's getting so flat, it could go upside down. Well, these are all the worries of the day, but they come back to this overarching, very, very heavy and wet blanket on this market. And potentially this economy, and that's, of course, trade. The worry about tariffs, the worry about a trade war with China, the worry about a trade war and tariffs on all that we do with the European Union. We've already have tariffs now with Canada and Mexico. So it's not just China. It is a global worry of an economic slowdown because our, let's call it, reposturing and trying to kind of gain back what I would consider, and this is where this interview from the interview of the week, in my opinion, comes in, an interview with Larry Kudlow. We've talked about Kudlow here on the show. I was excited when he was nominated or appointed as the director. Now, he's the director of the National Economic Council under President Trump. So who's more important economically than Kudlow right now? Very few people. This guy is at the very top of the food chain. Maybe Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, maybe Trump himself with all he can do, but he is at the top of the food chain when it comes to what's happening with the U.S. economy and the global economy and the role the United States plays in it. And that is Larry, I almost want to say Sir Larry Kudlow. He's not a sir, just Larry Kudlow. And again, he's probably the most well-known director of NEC, National Economic Council, because he's been a commentator for a long time. But before he was a commentator, he was a chief economist at Bear Stearns back in the late 1980s until 1994. He worked for the Reagan administration as one of the directors of economics and planning for the Office of Management and Budget. I mean, he knows the world that we live in. He understands the economy, and he's effectively been a Republican politically for the vast majority of his career. And he had what I would think a very important sit down with Jim Cramer this week from CNBC, and had an interview that I think says a lot about the times we are in relative to trade and all the worries that we all have about going to a global trade war. I've talked about here on the show for months now that all the potential negative on trade doesn't add up to all the positives that we're seeing. So there's a foot on the brake pedal when it comes to trade. It could cost us in the $80 to $120 billion range. I don't think it'll get that high. Those are all the worst case scenario numbers. And of course, I've talked about how you've got plenty of economic stimulus from the new tax code, which puts $200 billion back in the pockets of you, us as Americans, American corporations. Then government spending and repatriation of cash coming back because of the new tax code. All that's a big number, basically seven times the good versus the bad. But we need to talk about the bad for a minute of what could why we're in this trade fight. It's not a trade war. I've called it a skirmish. It's probably better characterized as a negotiation. We're in a trade negotiation. But Kudlow really gets through this and helps you understand, or helps me understand, why we're doing all this. So he starts out, and I'm going to kind of go through all the main points that Kudlow talked about here. Saying, look, he's not a fan of tariffs. And we knew this going in. And we knew he was going to have to kind of adopt the language of the administration and be tough or strong on tariffs or against unfair trade, if you will. But he said, look, I'm not a big fan of tariffs. And really, if any economist you ever talk to, nobody's going to say, yay, I think tariffs are the answer. So he said, I'm not a big fan of tariffs. And he said, everyone knows that. And I don't like blanket tariffs, period. He actually wrote a paper with Art Laffer, the economist Art Laffer, known for the Laffer curve, against the steel tariffs that Trump imposed, that were under Section 232, which was the Trade Expansion Act, Section 232, is what authorizes the president of the United States to impose a tariff if they think there's some sort of national security threat. So Kudlow doesn't like that. Didn't like it. Vocal critic of that. But Kudlow has been a long-term critic, though, of China and their practices when it comes to trade. And said that, look, I think I think the president's doing exactly the right thing here. And this should have been done years and years ago. So to some extent, we're kind of playing catch up here. We're playing economic catch up to get it back on level playing ground. Here are two of the biggest problems. Number one, the world trading system is unfair. It's broken. The system's broken. The WTO or the World Trade Organization is broken. And two, the biggest culprit in that is China. And ever since they joined the WTO back in 2000, China is still labeled an undeveloped nation. So it's an emerging economy. As investors, we talk about the developing economies. The United States is developing. We're a mature economy, been around for a couple hundred years. The European Union is a developed nation. When you talk about an emerging economy or a developing economy, you're talking about Brazil, Russia, India. Is China still, and they're labeled by this, by the World Trade Organization, that they're an undeveloped third world country? And to think about that for a second, how does that make sense? China is a $12 trillion economy. That ranks them second on the planet economically in nominal dollars as the second largest economy. If you look at purchasing power parity, which is another important and relevant way to look at economic power, the way you look at an economy taking into account their currency and what it can really buy, they're net ranked number one. So if you look at GDP by PPP, purchasing power to parity, they're the number one economy on the planet. So how are they? And they're using that status, that third world country status, as an excuse to have high tariffs and to have other non-tariff barriers of doing business in China. They're saying, oh, we need the extra help. We're third world. China's not third world. They're effectively the biggest economy on the planet, yet they're still characterizing themselves as, hey, we need special help. Should not be the case. And I think it's one of the most important points that Kudlow points out this week. My goodness, we have to run to quick news, weather, traffic. Yes, I do want to take phone calls today. Good morning. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Miguel Ortegal, certified financial planner, here with me this morning to take your call. Pass it through. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB, straight ahead.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here Sunday morning. We're just going to go to the phones for a minute. I know we're talking about tariffs. We're going to get to that in the third segment at the bottom of the half hour. In the meantime, Brent from Virginia Highlands is on the line.
Hey.
Brent, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I've never called a radio station before.
Well, I don't know what got you to call today, but today was the perfect day, Brent, to do it. This is a short segment, so it'll be quick. How can I help?
All right. Quick and painless. Okay. Just a quick question. I have about 35,000 liquid that I can play around with just sitting in a basic online bank savings account, making about 1.75%, which is fairly decent considering what the other banks pay. But it's not doing anything. And I want to know, what can I do with it that will either make more money in the short term, long term? I'm 61 years old. I am retired, but I just need to put that little chunk to do something more than what it's doing right now.
Brent, basically. So you're 61, and that's always the first kind of the starting point is you've got to always think about, hey, what's the horizon for the money? We always forget, like, what's the horizon? And if you're already retired, you don't technically need an emergency fund anymore because kind of all of your savings is your emergency fund because you need it at some point.
Right.
So I would use this period of time, and we're talking about kind of the heavy, wet blanket that's on this market right now. That is this whole talk of tariffs and the worry about right. We're going to go into a trade war. It's not going to ruin this economy, at least in my opinion. And we've got to, and this is maybe not just for you, but anybody thinking about this same problem right now. Do you put money to work? And I think the answer is yes. because we're at a period of time where use this discontent to your advantage. You say, look, yes, the market is not gone anywhere. So look at an ETF like Vanguard Dividend Appreciation ETF, symbol VIG. These are some of the things that I continue to buy because as the market kind of takes a hit here because of all the worries and the fears of something that may not ever manifest, and in my opinion won't manifest to a largely negative degree, that's when you take advantage of these and know that in 5 years, the sun will be out and shining, or in 10 years, the sun will be out and shining. And that's how we have to look at all investing, is that use the current discontent to our advantage, put money to work, knowing that, hey, I can see far out 5 and 10, 15 years into the future. And the good is the U.S. economy will continue to do well.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. We just took a call from Brent, who I think has the same question as so many of you. You know, what do you do right now when the world is, yes, we've heard the economy is good in a lot of ways and housing is to some extent booming in most areas around the country. There's an inventory problem because demand is off the charts to some extent. The consumer sentiment is still extraordinarily high. CEO sentiment is higher than it's been in many, many years. The consumer is strong. Interest rates are still accommodative and low, even though the Fed's been raising interest rates. Manufacturing is arguably almost too hot, almost too much manufacturing at this point in the cycle. And that, no question that it's strong. It might be even too strong. And then we know that the employment situation in America is phenomenally strong, with the unemployment rate at 4%. It's been in the high 3% range for the better part of this year. It's climbed back to 4% only because we have more people coming back into the job force. And labor force participation is going up, and that's an extraordinarily strong measure when it comes to jobs. And then the underlying tide, what really matters to this market, is of course earnings. We're at the beginning of earnings season. Honeywell, IBM, Johnson & Johnson this week. You go back a week or so ago, almost all the big banks, think J.P. Morgan, all the way from the J.P. Morgans of the world to the Bank of America's of the world to the Morgan Stanley's of the world, all earnings off the charts to some extent. And banks are the backbone of the American economy, of course, because of financing. And so the picture is no question is very strong. But you get geopolitical events like this extraordinarily visible trade dispute with the United States and the rest of the world. And that's kind of the topic today here. And I'm going through some of, I think, these just phenomenally important points by Larry Kudlow, the director of the National Economic Council for President Trump in the White House. And in getting to what Kudlow has been saying, all of this puts a real hush on markets. Difficult to have the S&P 500 break out to new highs when we're worried about this. What looks like could manifest into something that's pretty scary, a global trade war where trade stops and there's now tariffs on, if there were to be tariffs on all the goods that come in from China. I mean, we have a long way to go. And we're talking almost $600 billion worth of goods. We could tariff the whole thing. And Trump's even alluded to that fact, right? So this could get a lot worse. It's not bad that what has been implemented so far is easily digestible by this market. But it's cast a shadow of doubt over, hey, markets, yeah, sure, the economy's great, but markets can't do well if the next year or two we're mired in a quagmire of trade disputes. So the call we just answered had, to some extent, had to do with that. That was not the question, but that's what you're worried about. Do I put money to work today? And I think that the predominantly or prevailing theme that I think of is that we use these periods of time of economic fear to typically put money to work. Uncertainty, fear. That's when markets pull back. That's when markets don't do well. As long as we have a long time horizon to invest, we've got to have the confidence that the United States economy will bear this and get through it and then take another step higher. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up as an economy and plow new ground, plow higher ground. And that's the theme of what the United States economy has been able to do. And as an investor, that is the theme for the most part I operate under. So with that, call us here in the studio. I think these calls are great. If you have a question, it may not be your exact question, that the root of the real answer may not be in your initial question. And I think the last caller we had just reminded us of that. Hey, Wes, I put money to work. I'm 61. Well, really the question is, hey, there's some scary things happening right now. Can I still be an investor? So if you have a question about anything when it comes to investing or the product that you're using or the vehicle you're using, or is it mutual funds or stocks or ETFs, or you've got some sort of annuity that you might be thinking about buying, maybe you're ready to make a decision on something new, and you want to just run it by us, and we believe that we are the most objective financial live financial advice show on radio in the United States, period. And we'll be happy to give you an objective answer. And maybe it's something you and your spouse have been arguing back and forth about, or you're thinking about taking the next step in your career and it involves an investment decision, or maybe it's an early retirement decision. And you're saying, and the classic economic calculus or problem that comes to so many young or early retirees, and I've seen this happen almost daily here in Atlanta and in the Southeast, because we have so many Fortune 500 companies that are under a period of time where they're trying to motivate those who are in their 50s and early 60s to retire a year or two or three or 5 years sooner than they might have thought, maybe 10 years sooner. So they're offering lump sum pensions. They're offering you 6 months of salary. Hey, if you want to go now, we'll incentivize you to do that. Well, there's some major decisions. Do you take a lump sum as an IRA rollover, or do you turn that into a monthly pension? Which one do you take from the company? Well, there's a lot of variables that go around that. Does it meet the 6% test? Do you do the joint life survivor with your spouse? Do you do the single amount, the highest pension per month? These are decisions that are difficult to make. And we're here to be an objective third party answer to at least steer you in the right direction. And we're happy to do that. And that's exactly what our calls here on Money Matters are all about. So with that, the number here in the studio, give us a call. Phone line's open. We're happy to take your call. We're talking about tariffs. The number 404-872-0750. Again, the line here in the studio, we just had a first-time radio caller ever. He said, I've never even called into a show before. So thank you, Brent. 404-872-0750. Or if you're outside of the Southeast, our listeners in Texas and California, Seattle, hello, Michigan, Pennsylvania, my home state, and then my alma mater state of North Carolina, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255. So, and we will go to the phones here. Now, with that, I want to get back to, I think, this important conversation that we heard from Larry Kudlow, the director of the National Economic Council for the White House. So much of Money Matters in the last year and last couple of years really has been about politics and how Washington is driving Wall Street and driving the U.S. economy. And this is, we are continuing to see that. So this week, again, if you're just tuning in, Kudlow this week sat down with Jim Cramer and we talked about, he said, A, I'm not a big fan of tariffs, but here's the problem. The problem is that the world trading system is broken. The WTO is broken. The biggest culprit in that is China, since they joined the WTO in 2000. They're using this, hey, we're an underdeveloped country. We're a third world country with the WTO to... effectively, they're leaning on that status for advantages. So they're saying we're a third world country still. We should be able to continue to impose these tariffs. This is an excuse to have high tariffs, to have other non, as Kudlow put it, other high non-tariff barriers They're the second largest economy on the planet. If you look at purchasing power parity GDP, which again, arguably a more relevant way to look at overall economic size, they're the number one economy in the United States. Yet they're using this, hey, we're a third world country, to have and use and continue to use these high tariffs. So according to Kudlow, they continue. So this is the next problem. They continue. They 100% continue to steal our intellectual property. They, and Kudlow said they continue to steal our intellectual property left and right. They have a forced transfer of technology, meaning that the vast majority of American companies that go and try to do business in China, they're forced to do business in a joint venture relationship. That's the requirement to do business. They don't allow full American ownership over there, or at least for the most part. If you want to open up a company in a Chinese province, you have to do it on a joint venture basis. If you do that, you own 49% or maybe less. They own 51% of your company over there in China. Chinese government owns 51%. The local group comes in, and it's kind of like the party leaders, or you want to call it the mafia. They come in and they say, look, lay out all your plans. Give us your entire business plan. Give us everything you're going to do over the next 5 years. And oh, by the way, let me see all the plans for the technology. Give us all your IP as well. If you're going to do business here, we need to see all of it. That's a problem. That is obviously a problem. And it's been a problem for years. And quite frankly, the problem is getting worse. The only way we can fix the problem is from high up. Companies can't do it. We can't march. We can't protest in China. Hey, we want fair. We want this business environment to be fair. That's not going to work in China. It's got to be solved from White House, at the highest level. And that's what we're trying to do. China's not really an open economy. To some extent, they say they're an open economy. And we see them to some extent. We see Alibaba and we see publicly traded. We see billionaires in China. Yeah, that's true. But it's still controlled by the Chinese government. Tariffs hurt the U.S. consumer. Yes. And it's good in a lot of U.S. consumers are happy to buy low quality products or reasonable quality products at lower prices from these other countries like China. But in the end, if we don't do something to get fair practice, that can't continue. So there's really only one solution. China has to lower its barriers. And that's coming straight from Kudlow, National Economic Advisor to the President the Director of the National Economic Council. It's pretty simple. China has to lower its barriers to doing business, period. The U.S. is the lowest tariff country in the world. We are wide open to do business here. Our average tariff coming for goods coming into the United States, 2.5%. 2.5%. Average tariff doing business over in China, 14%. 2% versus 14% doesn't sound fair to me. So the simple solution is lower barriers to doing business in China, lower these tariff barriers, lower the other barriers they set up politically. If they open up America, think about how well we'll do as an economy with an open Chinese economy. Think about how well our exports will do from here to there. Think about how strong or good that'll be for our economy. We're the most competitive economy in the world. We're the smartest, brightest, most innovative economy on the planet. And imagine what that will do for our GDP here. And that's what we want. We want that to move higher. Is there hope? Well, that's the next question. We'll talk about that. I know we've got calls on hold. We'll get to phones. We're talking tariffs and Kudlow and what he says about it. We're talking China. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. So glad you tuned in. The number 404-872-0750. If you miss any of this, you want to see articles that we're writing about these exact topics, go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. And you can contact me and the Money Matters team through that website as well. We're happy to talk to you and your family with your own questions about your own finances and investments throughout the week. More Money Matters right here on WSB, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on Monday. It's a Sunday morning here. jumping ahead to the week. The number 404-872-0750 here in the studio. 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to go to the phones here. We're headed to Marietta. David joins us from Marietta. What's going on, David? How can I help?
Yeah, I have what is some people are calling a nice problem in that I'm 61. My wife is 65. We are both retired as of a year ago. And the question I have has to do with one, you never hear people talk about that when you retire, you may actually be making more money in retirement than you made when you were working. And so we did one of those things where we probably put too much money in a 401, but I'll let you give me an opinion on that. But anyway, in the end, what we're looking at doing is holding off Social Security till we're 70. We have like $1.5 million in IRAs, so we deferred a lot of money. But if we wait till we're 70, till we get Social Security, we add RMDs, add my Navy pension. She has an annuity she inherited, regular dividends and capital gains. We actually are going to be in a high, very high tax bracket once we turn 70.
So, David, the question really is about, do you convert a big chunk of that money? And so you also have a Navy pension, so you're in the Navy.
Yeah, I was.
Wow. So okay, just hang on a second. We've got to run to break. Thank you for your service in the Navy, number one. Number two, this is kind of a unique situation, but I think that I can walk you through an answer here. So hang on. We're going to go back to your call when Money Matters returns. Stay tuned right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.